always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Court documents naming people connected to Jeffrey Epstein have been unsealed. Documents include nearly 950 pages, and CBS News is reading through them now. Last month, a federal judge ruled the names of Epstein's alleged victims and those connected to him must be made public. More from CBS's Nancy Chen.
40 documents in total, more than 940 pages plus. It's important to note that being named does not necessarily mean that someone had knowledge of or involvement in Epstein's crimes, with the documents also including the names of accusers along with potential witnesses.
Epstein was indicted on federal sex trafficking charges but died by suicide in jail. The names are part of a lawsuit against Ghislaine Maxwell, who was sentenced to 20 years in prison for sex trafficking young girls for Epstein. Former President Trump has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene after Colorado's top court disqualified him from the state's Republican primary ballot under a constitutional provision barring insurrection. CBS News election law contributor David Becker expects the high court to hear the case.
The main arguments here are whether or not this is an appropriate time to resolve this case, since he's only trying to seek the Republican nomination, whether the office of the presidency is an office covered under the 14th Amendment, and whether or not he engaged in insurrection under the terms of the 14th Amendment.
The Biden administration is suing Texas to stop a strict immigration law set to take effect in March. Reporter Chris Fox in Austin.
The U.S. DOJ warned Texas if it did not forego enforcement of Senate Bill 4 by January 3rd, the U.S. would pursue all legal remedies to stop it. And now it has, filing suit in federal court. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed the immigration bill into law last month.
The goal of Senate Bill 4 is to stop the tidal wave of illegal entry into Texas. It creates a criminal offense for illegal entry into Texas from a foreign nation.
The DOJ calls the law clearly unconstitutional. Migrants' rights groups refer to it as a show-us-your-papers law. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
A group of Republican lawmakers gather at the U.S.-Mexico border in Eagle Pass, Texas, to push President Biden on border security. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
If President Biden wants a supplemental spending bill focused on national security, it better begin by defending America's national security.
Independent U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema has told reporters after a two-hour negotiating session that Senate negotiators are closing in on a bipartisan border security deal. Stocks tumbled on Wall Street. The Dow closed down 285 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat Wednesday morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no letup in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is chief quality officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Brewers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers, always looking to add pitchers, made a trade with the Dodgers. They sent left-hander Justin Chambers and a player to be named to L.A. in exchange for pitcher Brian Hudson, a 26-year-old lefty who appeared in six games in relief last season for the Dodgers. NBA, the Bucks in Indiana to play the Pacers. NFL, defensive back Jair Alexander is back with the Pack after a one-week suspension for conduct detrimental to the team.
I was surprised by the suspension. I thought maybe I'd get fined.
Jair's says he plans to play this week. Quarterback Jordan Love, after his 4-touchdown performance against the Vikings, named the NFC Player of the Week for the first time in his career. Love on facing the Bears, who have won 4 of their last 5 games.
I think they're pretty dangerous. I think they're a good team. They've been playing well lately. They have the power to send us home. So, like I said, it's a big game, and I think everybody in this locker room is excited for it and ready for the opportunity to take our season to the postseason.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michael. Patchy areas of freezing drizzle and flurries tonight with a mostly cloudy sky and lows in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs in the low 30s. Clouds back in full force in mid-30s for Friday, maybe some flurries on Saturday. Current temp is 30.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Thanks for being with me tonight. And an abbreviated show, but a show nonetheless. We're going to have some laughs tonight. And we will welcome a local actor who is on the rise and doing some really cool stuff here in Wisconsin named Kurt Kraus. He'll be with us a little later. I hope everyone had good holidays. I kind of feel like I'm still... mostly because this is a shortened show to a degree. I feel like I'm still kind of on some type of holiday break. And we are back tomorrow night, full force. We'll be back. And then I am not taking a night off for 3 months. Nightlight will be ready with a full head of steam. So I hope everyone had good holidays. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. I'm still sort of in a break mindset. Conrad, are you back? You still feel like you're kind of on vacation? What's the deal?
I think I'm back. Maybe.
If you don't know you're back, you're not back. Yeah. That would be my response to that. Did you make a New Year's resolution? We briefly discussed this yesterday.
I guess my resolution would be just the plain thing that everyone says is work out more, but I need to get in the gym a little bit more. So,
okay. I'm not that shallow. I'm going to work toward world peace. But you know what? Hey, if a six-pack is all you want out of life, go for it. No, that's a good one. Everyone wants to be in shape. I don't, you know, I have to, I got to go back to, I go to the gym once in a while. Mostly I walk, which isn't really a workout. Like, it's kind of sad. I'm at the point in my life where I'll say to myself, I need to get a walk in today. And 21-year-old Pete would just shake his head at me. Like, really? You need to take a walk? That's your workout? You know, when I was younger, I was doing like one-arm push-ups and going crazy and running up hills. And now I need to take a walk in my flat neighborhood. It's not even an incline. That's my, all right, you know what? You convinced me, Conrad. I need to hit the gym. Me and you, buddy.
There we go.
Where do you go? Where do you work out?
Anytime Fitness.
Anytime Fitness.
Yeah.
Can you go anytime or?
Oh, yeah. I can go anytime I want.
That's the benefits of Anytime. Anytime Fitness. I thought my gym, I was part of an Anytime Fitness when I lived out west, and I went there once at like 12:30 at night trying to unwind, closed.
Really?
I go, hey, the next day I go, I thought, you know, it's Anytime Fitness. He goes, well, we're not open 24 hours on the weekend. Like, well, you should put that in parentheses, okay?
Anytime but the weekend's fitness.
Yeah, because apparently I'm more committed to being in shape than you are to helping me be in shape. So whatever. But that's good. I hope you could do that. You have a goal? Are you trying to drop some weight, get more buff? What do you exercise your heart? What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to be more healthy, I think. And just, okay. I think working out will put me towards that gear of being more healthy with eating right too.
Yeah, so. Totally, man. I get it. That's a good plan. Now you've kind of guilted me into
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Listen, I love January right now because I can handle winter. Like when you live in warm weather, you turn into a wimp really fast. And I've been back in cold weather now. I love the winters where we don't get snow until after December or right before Christmas is ideal. But the first couple of years I was here, I think we got a snow in October and then it never really melted. Then we got more in November and it was here till April. I can't do that. Are you a fan of winter?
No, I just can't do it anymore. But I do like what you say about if the snow comes in January.
Yeah.
And it only goes to like, start of May, end of April. I'm okay with that.
End of April. I'm hoping it's gone sometime in March. January to March, I can do that in my sleep. Bring on the snow. Got the all-wheel drive. I can handle that. October through April, no. Can't do that. I have no use for that. And maybe it's global warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it, but we've had some pretty mild winters, so I'm not going to complain about that. My short-term gain is the world's long-term loss. So I guess if the world is ending, I don't have to get in shape. I'm a glass half full guy. You probably figured that out about me now. So we're here on January 3rd. It's pretty cool. I mean, the holidays were great this year. Saw some family, ready to jump in full time again tomorrow. pardon me. We have, we got some cool stuff today. We're going to laugh today. And that's what I like to do. It's Mel Gibson's birthday. And it's Florence Pugh's birthday. Two really good actors. I know people think Mel Gibson is crazy, and he probably is a little nutty. He said some really nasty stuff, which I attribute hopefully to alcohol, even though that's no excuse. I don't like that side of him, but the guy has made some great movies. And Florence Pugh she turns 27 today. She was in Little Women and Oppenheimer. She's great. 27 years old. She's already got some incredible credits to her name. She was nominated for an Academy Award for Little Women. I believe she's a great actor. We're going to listen to a scene from Little Women and Oppenheimer. We've got a couple Mel Gibson clips. And we are going to play. This is kind of funny. So we're still close enough to New Year's. Can you play this, Conrad, the Saturday Night Live New Year's clip? I like that one.
Yeah, sure. So this one's about resolutions. SNL made a skit on it, and Drake's in it as well. So it's a fun little song.
All right, here we go.
Resolution, revolution, resolution.
Catchy.
Revolution.
New year, new man. All I gotta do is stick to the plan. Get more fit and a little tan. With that summer haul, the body make the girlie say, yeah. So no more sugar for me. Less ice cream, more broccoli. Gonna be hard cause I love my sweets. And any kind of food deep fried in grease. But I'ma do it, oh yeah. Not gonna quit, that much is clear. Nothing's gonna break my donuts. So good. Last one. Cream filled. Diet starts now.
Fully committed to my resolution. I won't be the problem, I'll be the solution. Here my elocution, got firm constitution on my execution of this revolution. I'm done with booze, getting wasted, old news. I'm not gonna drink, bar. Salud. I love everyone here.
I'm only gonna drink on weekends. I'm going to do the soda I got to get rid of. I don't drink a lot, but I've kind of like conned myself into thinking, well, I'm drinking the real sugar soda, the Mexican sugar cane soda, which is better, but that's not healthy. It's not like I'm going to GNC and buying herbs. It's still soda. So that's what I got to cut down. I'm going to try to, I know I sound like I'm 12 years old. What are you giving up? Soda. That's Kool-Aid. That's what I'm giving up. But so I'm going to stick to that. And okay, so Conrad played that clip for me the other day. I really liked it. And then I stumbled onto this other one. He was already aware of it. But this is Kate McKinnon, one of the funniest people on the planet. And she is doing, who else is in this? It's Ryan Gosling. And then there's another cast member too, who I don't know. But the three of them got abducted by aliens. And that Ryan Gosling and the other cast member were treated really well by the aliens, and Kate McKinnon got mistreated and groped and all kinds of stuff. So this is part of that skit where she realized she was not getting the same treatment as the other abductees. Go ahead, Conrad.
The alien showed my mind the furnace of all creation, what we would call God.
What? These fancy cats are seeing God. Meanwhile, I'm starting phase two, which is me sitting on a stool while 40 gray aliens take turns gently batting my knockers. Did y'all get the knocker stuff?
No knocker stuff. Sorry.
And did you feel threatened, Miss Rafferty? No. They were real respectful about it. They were in a line, and then one by one they'd step up, slap a knocker, and then end the line, wait for another turn. It didn't hurt. It was like, I'm sorry, pardon me, Sharon. It's kind of like that. No harm, no foul.
It hurts. Look, it hurts.
Perhaps they were collecting biological data?
No,
that felt super off the books. I swear to God, there was one gray alien by a door just kind of peeking. I think he was the lookout.
She's so funny, she cracks herself up. Wednesday night.
And how did the aliens return you all to Earth?
I was carried down gently. He's crying. I was carried down gently in a cradle of light placed into a soft bed of wildflowers.
Yeah. The light laid me down like a baby in a meadow near my house. I was smiling and weeping, tears of
joy.
He
could barely get through the scene.
He's laughing all the time.
Now this missed me a little bit. Because my grand exit was out of what was basically like a big airplane toilet, okay? I dropped down 7 feet onto the roof of a Long John Silver's. They threw out my pants separately. They missed the roof. My slacks landed in a frickin' pine tree 30 feet away. So I had to just chill up there with Madame Coot-Coot and Prune Shoe hangers until the place opened up.
Oh, when she says, not the worst Wednesday night I've had. Kate McKinnon is so funny. So that's just that was kind of a tangential thing we did there. It's not a little Saturday Night Live post New Year's Saturday Night Live. So stick with those resolutions, folks. Tomorrow, Conrad, I think what we'll do on the 4th, we'll check in with people and listeners and see how their resolutions are going. Cause I think we need to do what we can to motivate people to stick with their New Year's resolutions.
Sure.
And feel good about 2024. We could get, you know what I saw the other day on Twitter? This drove me nuts. So one of these influencers, I don't remember her name. She said, I think we're all going to have a great year. Like, how fawning or pandering is that? We're all going to have a great year? No, that's not, I mean, stop. You've already got a gazillion followers. You know what? I mean, it's just, ugh. All right, I'm back. All right, so we are going to have Kurt Krause, a local actor and filmmaker, is going to join us in just a little bit. And when I come back, we're going to hear, we're going to talk Mel Gibson and Florence Pugh. It's their birthdays today on January 3rd. And we're going to hear some really cool movie clips, so don't go away. This is Pete Schwabba. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. All I'm trying is trying to tell me something. But we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens
or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Just because it's an abbreviated show doesn't mean we can't have a few laughs and some cool music. That's what we do here at Nightlight. So I think today being Mel Gibson's birthday, people are probably split down the middle. He said some bad stuff. There's no question about that. I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff, but I have to say, and this is what I think, it's the same thing with sports. You know, if I don't agree with my quarterback on my team politically or whatever, I'm still going to cheer for him. I think that's kind of what brings us together, or we meet halfway somewhere. Because for a while, when I heard some of the stuff Mel Gibson said, I'm like, I'm not watching his movies anymore. And then I'm like, well, yeah, I am. The guy makes good movies. He's not the only one involved in the movie. This is a lot of livelihood. This is a collaborative effort. That's what movies are. So Mel Gibson turned 67 today and has made some, you know, Braveheart, Mad Max. My personal favorite is Payback. It was a kind of a film noir they shot in Chicago in the late 90s. And he plays a guy who, let's set the movie up. Conrad, play the first clip where he kind of, his narration kind of sets up the movie. It's a short clip, and then I'll tell you where we're going after that.
Not many men know what their life's worth. I do. 70 grand. That's what they took from me. And that's what I was gonna get back. They say time heals all wounds. And you'd think after 5 months of lying on my back, I would have given up any idea of getting even. Just be a nice guy, call it a day. Nice guys are fine. You gotta have someone to take advantage of. But they always finish last. Old habits die hard.
All right, that's good. So Mel Gibson did a robbery with a guy. They stole 130 grand. His take was supposed to be 70 grand. The guy turned on him, tried to kill him. And Mel Gibson, the movie opens with him kind of being operated on by, like, you know, wherever these gangsters go that they don't have to track it or whatever, like a veterinarian or whatever. He gets the bullets taken out and now he's back for revenge or payback. And Maria Bello's in the film. David Paymer, who is so funny in everything he does, he's just a great character actor, is in the film. A great supporting cast. Brian Helgeland directed. I believe he wrote L.A. Confidential, one of my all-time favorites too. But in this scene we're going to hear now, Mel Gibson goes back. All he wants is his 70 grand back. And he's kind of working his way up the Chicago mob to get it back. Although I don't think they ever say Chicago in the movie, but it's obviously Chicago, and they call it the outfit, which is what the Chicago calls their mob. So Mel Gibson is trying to get the money back. He finally gets to the top dog's house and he makes the two flunkies who are carrying his suitcases back from the airport hold the suitcases up the entire time while he tries to get a hold of Kris Kristofferson to get his money back. Kris Kristofferson is the day-to-day guy. He's already killed William Devane's character. He just wants his 70 grand back. All right, Conrad, play that next clip.
Put it on speaker. This is Porter.
You got balls, Porter. You're proving to be a real pain in the mosquito.
To get rid of you, I'll swat you with 130 grand. It's not 100.
Hey, what the hell are you doing, man? It's all right. He's just killing my alligator bags and shooting holes in my suit. Man, that's just mean. That's mean, man.
You people aren't listening. It's not 130.
No, you listen.
I'll get you your money, but you're never going to live to enjoy it.
You let me worry about that. Here's the deal.
I want you to deliver the money yourself.
You're one hell of an optimist. What in the world makes you think I'm going to deliver the money myself?
Well, if you don't, you'll never see little Johnny again. Didn't come home from the fight last night, did he? He's a good-looking kid, but I think you indulge him too much. I told him so.
You haven't got him.
You wouldn't be that stupid. My dad never bought me a Ferrari. I had to steal my first one. Nice inscription on the keychain. A little sappy. Want me to read it?
You're dead, Porter. Nobody f- my family. You hear me?
You're a dead man. That's Johnny, Mr. Bronson. Unless you turn up with the money. Is that a yes? Hmm? What's the matter? Cat got your crotch? Some decisions are hard, Mr. Bronson.
Where?
I'll let you know. I'll be in touch.
And then at the end of the scene, he says, and it's not 130 grand, it's 70 grand. He keeps sticking to the 70 grand. I love plots where it's a very simple goal. He just wants the money owed to him in a robbery. And a great supporting cast, Maria Bello, David Paymer, Greg Henry, who's an underrated character actor, always plays a good, he plays a great embattled tough guy, like Joe Pantoliano always did. That tough guy or mob guy who things go wrong and it's hilarious when they get angry. So, okay, so that's Mel Gibson. He turned 67 today. Now, I think we have a clip from Florence Pugh. Why don't we, do we have time to do the Little Women one?
Yeah, we do.
All right. This is Florence Pugh and Timothée Chalamet in Little Women. She plays Amy. And she's in love with Timothée Chalamet, who's always had the hots for her sister, as many of you who saw Little Women, directed by Greta Gerwig, would probably remember. But this is just a nice scene. Go ahead, Conrad.
What are you doing?
I'm looking at you.
I mean, what do you intend to do?
With life?
Yes.
I've been writing an opera. I would be the central figure.
That's a waste of time.
What would you have me do?
Go and work for your grandfather and make something of yourself.
You're not... playing fair.
Here.
It's very good. When did you do this one?
It was the day at the beach. First time I met Fred.
That's right. What's he doing?
He's in London on business. He'll be back in a few weeks.
Don't marry him.
What?
Don't marry him.
Why?
Why? You know why?
No. No.
Yes.
No. Lori.
What?
You're being mean. What? Stop it. Stop it. I have been second to Joe my whole life in everything. And I will not be the person you settle for just because you cannot have her. I won't do it. I won't, not when I've spent my entire life loving you.
It's Florence Pugh. She turns 27 today from a scene from Little Women. Hollywood's future. She's such a good actress, and she was in Oppenheimer, too. She played the love interest of Oppenheimer. Do we have time for that clip, Conrad?
Yeah, sure. We do right now.
Squeeze it in. All right, let's do that. Here's Florence Pugh from Oppenheimer.
I'd rather be here for you as you need.
But you have other priorities now.
I have a wife and child.
That's not what either of us is talking about.
Jean, you asked me to come, and I'm glad I did, but I can't see you again.
But what if I need you? You said you would always answer, not a word.
Did you think that consistent with insecurity?
As a matter of fact, it was. Not a word.
When did you see her after that?
I never saw her again.
Such a great scene. She's got such a great voice, and she is a fast-rising actress, just... can do any role. She's great. So there you go. Mel Gibson, highly recommend Payback and Florence Pugh and anything she's in. So this is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight. When we come back, Kurt Krause joins us on this special show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Some 950 pages of court documents are unsealed as part of a lawsuit against Ghislaine Maxwell, who was convicted of sex trafficking young girls for late financier Jeffrey Epstein. Criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully.
Just because someone is connected with Epstein doesn't mean that necessarily that they are guilty of any of these crimes.
Former President Trump asks the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene after Colorado's top court disqualified him from the state's Republican primary ballot. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
It's important for the United States Supreme Court to rule on the merits as quickly as possible so that everyone in the United States can plan accordingly. The Republican Party can know whether they have a qualified nominee.
U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson at the southern border blames President Biden for the migrant crisis.
The situation here and across the country is truly unconscionable. We would describe it as both heartbreaking and infuriating.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin are working to form a union. They're being represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They say that unionizing will help improve their working environment and enhance patient care. They expect around 100 Planned Parenthood workers to be included in the union. 22 states raised their minimum wage on New Year's Day, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. More businesses are raising pay on their own, but not everyone benefits.
For the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
Laura Dresser is a labor economist who studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michael. Patchy areas of freezing drizzle and flurries tonight with a mostly cloudy sky and lows in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs in the low 30s. Clouds back in full force in mid-30s for Friday, maybe some flurries on Saturday. Current temp is 30.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
back to Nightlight. Gorgeous night, downtown Green Bay. It is every night. And it is every night I get to do this show and talk to the listeners, talk about showbiz. What better way to close out the show than to talk show business? And now it is my pleasure to welcome, speaking of show business, a local actor and filmmaker, Kurt Krause. Kurt, hey.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
He's in studio, folks.
Thanks for having me.
You made the drive.
Absolutely.
The long drive. Not that long, but yeah, it's great to have you. Thanks for being with us. I don't know what you know about Nightlight, but we talk about show business and fun Wisconsin stuff. And, you know, and you were like one of the first people that came to mind when I thought of this show, because you are entrenched, man. You are like boots on the ground for the local indie film scene and acting scene. So, and I should tell people, I met Kurt. I made a film 20 years ago this year. We shot in Marinette, called The Godfather of Green Bay. And you were an extra. I'll let you take it from here, because you probably remember. I was out of my mind then trying to corral an entire movie set. But you've welcome to chime in here, buddy.
It was amazing. And that was really the door that I got to enter through you and through the casting. So, yeah, super grateful. It was, I tell you what, 3 days on set, because it is a lot of hurry up and wait. I had been a stage actor to that point, and that was my introduction into film. And
oh, wow.
In those days, I thought, you know, this was a good experience, but I don't know how people can do this 13, 14 hours, you know, on your feet. And
different energy than stage, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it opened a lot of doors. And
good.
Within, you know, I'd say within 10 years after that, I was making films of my own. And yeah.
That's so cool that you reached out to me once on Facebook and told me you were an extra in the film. And I'm like, oh, that's so great. We've been friends ever since. So. You were like 18 then too, right?
Yep. I was a senior in high school.
And you were an extra.
Yeah.
Okay. What scene were you in? Do you remember?
We were mostly in like the bar scenes where there was dancing. I think one of the open mics because of the stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
So with Doug D-U-G and
Tom Lennon.
Tom Lennon.
So I'll give listeners a little background. The film basically is a reverse, two comedians from LA. I play the lead role, my buddy Lance Barber in the film, who is the dad on Young Sheldon and will be on the show one of these days. We road trip to Wisconsin because the talent booker for The Tonight Show comes back home every year to deer hunt and hangs out at his buddy's roadside bar where they do comedy. So we road trip to Wisconsin to get seen for The Tonight Show. We shot a lot of nights in a bar, and it was really fun because after we were done shooting, the windows were all closed up and we would just stay there and party the night away. So that was really fun. I hope you got to partake in some of that, even though you were pretty young.
Yeah, so it was such a chill dynamic that when we were close to wrap to wrap, I mean, everybody was just super great.
Yeah.
Lauren Holly was incredibly gracious.
Yeah.
And was just, you know, we weren't supposed to be there as fans, but obviously she, you know, took pictures with us and
she was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren and Tony Goldwyn was great. When I got back to LA after shooting that, he told a couple other people that were associated with the film or other films that he worked on, where people that worked on our film work, he said that was the most fun I've ever had on a movie set.
That's awesome.
Now, that's 20 years ago. He's probably eclipsed that since then. But for then, I took that as a little victory. It was a fun set.
Absolutely.
So, but let's talk about you and where you're at now. So you said you really started making your own films about 10 years ago, and you got a really cool thing going right now with Stephen King's name attached to it. Tell us a little bit about that, Kurt.
So that film was called The Last Rung on the Ladder, and tonight is actually a very exciting night for us because we are burning this onto DVDs and sending it to the King organization tomorrow.
So you're done.
So it is done.
The film is done.
It is finished.
And it is a short film, a feature film. What are you looking at?
So this is a short film adaptation from his short story, The Last Rung on the Ladder, and through what's called the Dollar Baby program, we, for a dollar, will buy the rights, and we have it for a year. So you write it, you shoot it. It's in some ways it feels so fast moving, like a 48-hour film festival, because you got to get the stuff shot and out. And so I came on, we had an extension. So I came on midway through the second extension and just kind of as I had the producer hat on and I said, this is what I'm seeing that needs to be done in order to get it done on time. And it worked.
Wow.
Somehow, some way.
One of the challenges to making movies is finding good source material. And you're rolling with Stephen King. So on a short film. I think you're doing okay. That's pretty cool.
Well, hopefully he likes it, because again, it is an adaptation from his work. So there's only a number of these that go out every year that people get. They get the Dollar Baby contract and do it. So you always hope that you do something that he's going to really enjoy.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
But he's going to watch what you did. That's so cool.
Yep. And we are like the, I shared this in an email with you. We're actually the last of the Dollar Babies, because this program will not continue in 2024. So we didn't know it at the time. I mean, obviously we had our deadline and we went for it, but we didn't know that we would be the tail end of this, that something that he'd been offering for so long, they're just continuing. So it's a very niche thing that,
yeah,
you know, in a really,
and it's
cool
called the
window.
Dollar Baby program.
Yep.
And how many of these movies are being made? Do you have any idea, like, how many people are actually taking part in it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
They only grant a number of them per year. So okay. It is pretty limited.
Kind of a smart thing for Stephen King to do too, because he's just got all these short stories. Maybe someone will option one, but the guy's written so much and he's so prolific. Not everything he made is going to get turned into a movie. So why not put it out there and see what you come up with? Maybe you'll knock his socks off, and the next thing you know, you're doing a feature film, right?
Here's hoping. and that's actually one of the cool sells with this program. One of the directors of the Dollar Baby short film ended up directing a number of his feature films with big budgets. So I've heard it growing up that Stephen King didn't like a majority of the films that were made from his stories. So when we go back and forth, like, why offer the opportunity? It may be that a young filmmaker with their creativity and not getting, you know, too budgeted out, too busy, loses the heart of maybe what he was trying to say in that story.
It's so great, because you're like, you're shooting something that was written by one of the greatest writers of the last 100 years. I mean, he wrote Shawshank Redemption. Like, I always associated him as like a horror writer. And I'm not a huge fan of horror. I've seen some of his movies and they're great. And I've read a few of his books when I was younger. But when he did Shawshank Redemption, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this guy is just one of the greatest writers ever, especially if they can adapt that into a movie. That's just amazing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And I mean, there isn't a dry eye in the room when you watch The Green Mile. And that was also
Stephen King too. That's right. Wow. Well, hopefully, what is your film called again?
This one's called The Last Rung on the Ladder.
The Last Rung on the Ladder. Am I going to cry if I watch it?
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope there's tears of joy. I'm talking with Kurt Krause. He is a local Northeast Wisconsin and Wisconsin actor and filmmaker. And it's fun to have you here, because I host another show about independent films, many of which are shot in Wisconsin, but I don't feel like I'm really part of the independent film scene. You are. What is it like in Wisconsin right now for indie filmmakers?
It has definitely grown in just obvious ways, I'd say, in the last 10 years, to where there's just so much more opportunity here than there was. When we shot Godfather or Green Bay, independent film seemed so few and far between that when you were actually on a radio program that I was listening to and you were being interviewed about your film. And for me, that was the most exciting day, because I was like, holy cats, there's film in Wisconsin.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
You want to hear a funny story? I never thought, you know, I decided to shoot The Godfather of Green Bay in Marinette. I had to convince the producers, who were a couple of LA guys. They wanted to shoot it on a soundstage at first. I'm like, oh, you can't fake authenticity in an indie film. We got to go there. We got to find a way to make it work. And he goes, well, if you can find a way to house a crew of 60 people and actors, I'm all for it, Pete. Well, I go to Marinette to a local guy named John Hofer, who ran the marketing department of the hospital, and they made it work. He put his feelers out in the community. We couldn't have done it without him. And so that's how we made it work. And that's what you do when you shoot an independent film. And that probably saved us $100,000. So, and then, you know, you got to convince everybody else to come and be part of your film, which is no easy task, as I'm sure you learned too. So it was just a great experience shooting that here in Northeast Wisconsin and coming home here to do it. What is it like in Northeast Wisconsin right now, just as an actor and a filmmaker? Is the climate pretty good? Are there a lot of projects happening for young actors?
You know, Green Bay, I've seen, you know, in this past year, there's been a few, you know, smaller time projects. You get up into, you know, places like Door County, where I'm from, and it's every now and then somebody's up there doing something, but it's, you know, early on, it's like you got a car if you're willing to travel. So, you know, I get down to Milwaukee, Madison, and a lot of Chicago. Okay. And but yeah, it's, you know, if you're willing to travel and you know, be flexible with your schedule, you can make a lot happen.
But you have to be, right? You can't live in Door County and say, I'm only working on projects that shoot in Door County, right? You'll starve. It's hard enough eating as an actor. Oh, what I meant to tell you with the Marinette connection is I never thought I'd be in another movie. My buddy Mike McGuire shot another film there called Aquarians in 2017, I think.
Okay.
He's like out in LA now doing producing, and he's also a native son of Marinette. He's like, hey, we need local actors. You want to audition? I'm like, yeah. So I got another opportunity. But I would think a lot of films shoot in Green Bay. There's kind of a good scene here. I know Gags the Clown, Adam Krause's film was shot here. And then tell me about, you were also in Room 108, The Clearing. That got some press. Where is that at, and what was that like working on that project?
So I think, besides going out to festivals, and I think it's being well received. Freddie Maiano, the director, he's awesome. But he's a shaker and a mover. And one of the things that really impressed me with that film, and I tell him this when I see him, that I've never seen somebody get everybody involved in like the historical society. I mean, he got everybody on board to shoot a film that's at least partially a period piece. And
that's nuts.
The train museum to, the Meyer Theater. He got all of these really cool locations. And again, the guy's got a heart of gold, and I think people understand where he's going, what he's doing. But I've never seen somebody be able to pull all of that together the way he did. And that was very impressive.
That's a huge undertaking. And you're right about Green Bay. I remember going to a screening of Gags the Clown, and Adam Krause spoke to the crowd afterward at the Meyer Theater, and they said, how come you didn't showcase the Packers more? Or did you think about showcasing the Packers more in the movie? And he said, you know what? Green Bay's got so many great locations. The Packers get enough attention. They're the king of the town, no question. But Green Bay has a lot more to offer filmmakers and indie filmmakers in this vicinity. And he tried to showcase that, and he did very well. So I agree. And that's pretty interesting that you can shoot a period piece on an indie budget just because of what's available to you around here location wise. So when is that film coming out, Kurt?
So I don't have an absolute timeline on that one.
Okay.
So I know that he's already started shooting the second one.
What's the genre of it? Is it a mystery? Or I know you said period piece, but what's going on there?
It's kind of like a thriller, time warp. You know, it's tough to explain because
it's an adult film, isn't it?
Just it's not an adult. Yeah. I mean, maybe it fits kind of into experimental.
Oh, okay.
Because you're watching it as they're kind of exploring a mystery. It's a local legend of supposedly a notorious killer, but you kind of reverse it and you start to see him more as a hero as they're traveling through space and time. So sometimes it jumps to the future. Sometimes it kind of takes you back to the modern storyline. Yeah. And other times you're back in, I think, like the 1920s.
That has a little bit of a Stephen King sound to it too, actually.
A little bit.
Now that you hear it discussed like that. I'm trying to think. We got to go to a break. Can you hang out for 60 seconds? We got to do a little bit of business.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Are you having fun talking to me, Kurt?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
I love having you here. Real quick before we go to break, who are your favorite actors and who are your influences as an actor?
So Robert De Niro, 100%.
Okay.
Johnny Depp had a real, real positive impact because, again, when you got the opportunity to work with one of your idols and they treat you well, and the very first thing he did was he came and introduced himself to all of us who were
on set. Were you in Dillinger as an extra?
Yeah, I was.
With Johnny Depp? Okay. Hold that thought. That's where we're going to pick up when we come back. I'm talking with local actor and filmmaker Kurt Krause. It's so great. He's here in the studio on this beautiful night in downtown Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sweet
The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Hanging out here with local actor and filmmaker Kurt Krause, who is a very busy guy. You seem to work a lot. I see all your social media posts. You're always in something new. I really admire you pounding the pavement, so to speak, as a filmmaker and an actor. Good for you.
I appreciate that. It's the whole level of crazy, as you know well. That
yeah, and that's part of the fun, right? It's just, you know, that energy and enthusiasm and charisma for making artistic stuff, right?
You know, when you're a kid and you're dreaming of being able to do what you love one day. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was just like, I was so blessed to have that opportunity. And so I never wanted to slow down because we all know what happens when you become a little complacent or comfortable.
Right.
It can be a dangerous thing. So
absolutely. So we were talking about Johnny Depp before the break. So you were on Public Enemies and he was there and he was very cool. Expand,
super
please.
Cool. Yeah. So I came while they were filming in Oshkosh, the bank robbery scenes. I came in to be on second team, so I was a stand-in of one of the Dillinger gang, and we would do run the rehearsals, with all the blocking, with camera lighting, because you had multiple camera crews there, so you'd run this thing like 12, 14 times, and then you know we get out of the way, and then you have the Johnny Depps and the Spencer Garretts coming in, and then they shoot that with the crew, and again to get the take, they themselves are going to do it 12 more times before that's the take, especially in these big shootouts. So, but yeah, we got to set, and the very first day that Johnny Depp arrived on set, he came and introduced himself to everybody who was new, just as
very cool.
Nice and as kind as you know, conversation here, and yeah, just a super good guy.
Yeah. And did you get to meet Michael Mann?
I did.
He went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I don't know if you knew
that. He's the alum, yeah.
Love that guy.
So Michael Mann, I mean, obviously he was under a lot of, you know, stress and time.
Yeah, you guys didn't go bowling together, but I mean, he got a chance to.
I did get yelled at by Michael Mann.
Oh, nice. Tell us.
So he has all of us, you know, piled into this gangster car, because, again, we're stand-ins for the Dillinger gang. And he's working with the DP in their. They're mounting this camera on the front of the car because they're going to get that shot actually driving around. So I was trying to explain to him, because again, he's in his zone, and I was trying to explain to him, my guy's already been shot, so I shouldn't be in the car. So I was standing in for Spencer Garrett.
Nice.
Spencer Garrett got shot, of course, in the film. So I should really be on the sidewalk, not in the car. So, you know, at that point, everybody was moving, you know, just miles a minute type deal. So anyway, he's just throwing bodies in the car. So, so I'm there, and he's telling us then to, you know, we should be shooting out and reacting and to see how that looks. So I was making gunshot noises, which I guess was really, really kind of ticking him off, you know. And so at one point,
I was about to say he should give you a line for catching that continuity issue. Oh, yeah.
So, he's all of a sudden he's peering over his glasses at me, and the guy doesn't look happy at all. And I'm like, do you want me to use a different gun? And he says, We need a whole lot less actor out of you and a whole lot more stand-in.
Oh, like, man. Okay. Oh, wow.
So then he's like, which guy are you standing in for? And I said, it's, you know, Spencer Garrett. And then, of course, then it kind of all comes together. I shouldn't even be in this car. And he looks up from the camera again and he says, get the hell out of here. So I jumped out of the car. And then he gives you that smile that lets you know, hey, you know, you're okay. You know,
okay, one that's of those good.
Things. Yep. So I think he's kind of like a football coach. You know, he wears the game face. But then yeah. I think there's a very good heart there. And
he makes great films. I mean, I don't love all of them, but I really like most of them. And the guy's a giant, you know, so that's pretty cool.
Last of the Mohicans, you know, to this day,
yeah,
really holds to the test of time.
Absolutely. And the movie Collateral with Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise, one of my all-time favorites, almost a flawless film, in my opinion, and especially in that genre. But, okay, so, Kurt, you're an actor. You want to do as many projects as you can. I assume you want to do bigger projects if they become available to you. As an actor, do you say to yourself, do you have that conversation where you're like, I've got to stay here or I want to stay here, even though it might, you know, limit how far I can go as an actor? Or do you say, I'm going for it. I'm going to Chicago, LA, New York, whatever. How does that work? How will you navigate the acting field, so to speak, from Northeast Wisconsin?
I think just trying to stay open and available to that idea that if that opportunity came, I might be gone for a time. So it is, I mean, even now it's a lot of time on the road because besides working in the Midwest, I'll usually get out to Vegas once a year, down to Miami on some different projects. And so it's just, you know, kind of knowing your suitcase is packed.
Yeah.
You might be gone next week. It makes dating hard because you can't really commit to anything too far down the road. You have to keep yourself open, but also, you know, there is the life element too, and trying to balance.
Is it sort of like, do you deal with like, wow, I'm dating an actor, and 3 months later it's like, oh my God, I'm dating an actor. sounds glamorous, but
no, we're all a pretty neurotic bunch. I think that's
pretty fair. Yeah, sure, that's fair.
It's a part of the craft.
But you have no plans to, like, you've made this your home base, so you're going to do what you can living here in terms of acting. Oh, that's good for you. It's good that you know that, too. Like, I know people that struggle with, God, even when I was in Chicago, do I stay here? Do I go to New York? Do I go to L.A.? But, you know, I think in some ways you probably have an opportunity to do things here in Wisconsin or Northeast Wisconsin that help you, that you wouldn't have other places. You get to actually make films and be in them
100%
in a professorial role or acting role. So,
I mean, we've talked about this before, but there's now that incentive called Film Green Bay, where they have this program set up through a 501c3 to bring filmmaking into Green Bay.
Oh, fantastic.
And yeah, so there's, you know, if you get the right system in place for fundraising and getting, you know, donors and you get a good solid base.
Yeah.
You know, more and more you can be paying people what they're worth. You can hire in talent that you'd like to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Lead in your movies. And, it really is building up the art here in Green Bay. So it's really cool seeing things like that. You know,
that is really cool. So we have about 30 seconds. Favorite location to shoot at in Green Bay and favorite location to shoot at statewide in 20 seconds.
So statewide, I'll say Venue 404 was the bank that we filmed Public Enemies for, that bank robbery scene. And we did a scene there with Last Rung on the Ladder. And it's also going to be our premiere location. So it's a really cool space. You go and you're going to see these huge prints from Public Enemies.
Yeah.
It's a cool place. Yeah.
Listen, keep up the great work. I admire you. Keep up.
Thank you.
Keep those posts coming too. It was great having you on the show. Please come back again soon. Okay.
Will do.
Awesome.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks for listening to this abbreviated version of Nightlight. We'll be back tomorrow, January 4th, with our usual show from here on out. Hope you had great holidays. See you tomorrow.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at Weikert-Lakepoint.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by